and welcome into ESPNFC Daily. Kay Murray and LME here. Group B is wrapped. It's done and dusted. It is England and the USA who will be going through to the knockout stages. England as group leaders, USA behind them. And we'll start with the US's game as well, Louise, because, I mean, the guys put in so much hard work and they deserve the win after everything we saw today.
100%. Congratulations to the USMNT after failing to qualify for the 2018 World Cup. The development within the federation and everything that came with it now means that the US not only made it to the World Cup in Qatar, but now they are in the knockout stages, the round of 16. And to your point, K. Murray, this is the youngest squad in the World Cup, average age of 25, and they delivered. There's a few things that we'll probably talk about regarding some asterisks. Obviously, the injury to Pulisic, we'll have to watch out for that one. The goal scorer today, which, by the way, was his first goal for the USMNT outside of the US since that goal against Trinidad and Tobago. So that meant a lot. But well done, USMNT. And now you face the Netherlands, which is basically the Serginho Dest is mine derby, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. But a big props to Christian Pulisic getting injured, it seemed, in the process as well. We hope he's okay. Listen, we have a former US men's national team player with us who's been watching this game. We are delighted to be joined by Alejandro Bedoya. He's been watching this game. He's going to give us his thoughts on everything. So just stick around. He'll be with us in just a moment. When it comes to the US, though, with everything that we've seen, Luis, obviously it's the Netherlands next, but I think that they've given, especially in this game, a few people reason to sit up and take notice. They just, you know, the energy they showed tonight, some of the passes as well that we saw. There was obviously a goal that was offside. Was it? It was very close, wasn't it? That way a goal. But I just think that we saw some really nice stuff from Greg Berhalter's men in this game. And maybe, I'm not going to say silence the critics, because they were right to be critics at certain aspects. But after this performance today, I think that he has to get some praise and the team have to get praise for what we saw. And it seemed that everything worked as well when it came to his choices.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everything that you have said needs to be echoed and defended. Everything about the Greg Berhalter era is about objectives. The first objective was about positive recruitment. It happened. The next one was about qualifying for the World Cup. It happened. Now, the next objective, which was the biggest one, was to get out of this group, which at face value wasn't easy, right? And they've done it. And for them to achieve this needs to be stated. Regarding the way a goal, I think it was offside. Andres Cantor likes to call those MRIs, not VAR, because you really need an x-ray to really look at it. But I think it was an offside from Tim Weah. But here's the thing, though, okay? It's great. I love it. Well done, USMNT. And in every game in the group stages, they've delivered and shown us something. They've been the better team in every single of those group stage matches. But to only be 1-0 up at halftime, that could be dangerous against a stronger opponent, because they should have been like 3-0 up. And a better team, a stronger team will make you pay for it. So that's the only thing to watch out.
All right. Well, we can welcome in Ale now. We're so happy to have him with us. We cannot wait to hear what he thought about everything he said.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
It's so great to have you on. Tell us, what are your thoughts after that?
Whew, that was like, what do you say, squeaky bum time there at the end, right? Some tense moments, and I'm glad they got the win. But what a great result, and they move on. And, you know, I thought they had a great game.
I love it. Ale, I have a question for you regarding those performances. Who spoke out to you in that game? I thought Serginho Dest was unbelievable. Anybody else spoke to you?
Yeah, no, I would say he was my first choice, too. He played a fantastic game. And then, of course, I mean, steady Eddie right there in the middle. Tyler Adams, you can always rely on him. I mean, you just saw towards the end how fit he is, you know, chasing the guy down at the end line while he was showing some cramps. Tyler was just, you know, right there. So it was fantastic, great, and great victory.
LA unbeaten, though, coming through the groups, the US, that's helped them get through to the next round. Do you think they can cause a splash? Do you think they can upset the Netherlands?
Absolutely. I mean, anything can happen. It's the knockout rounds. But I have to say that I don't live comfortably with just these 1-0 leads, especially when they create the type of chances that they do. They get in good spots. They're getting in good positions. That, you know, you've seen a lot of these overloads and 3v2s and 2v1s out wide, getting the ball into the box. But we just need to get on the end of these crosses and plays and finish them off, you know. The goal, though, I have to say, the goal for today was a beautiful display of, I think, what Greg Berhalter has been talking about the whole time, how he wants the U.S. team to play. You know, I think if they don't – they didn't show the full replay on TV, but when you rewind that, you know, it starts from Matt Turner. It wasn't just the clearance. He knew where he was kicking it to, and great touch by I think it was Weah who settled it down. Musa, it gets, you know, goes through the middle, and of course a great ball Weston over the top with a great run with Dest and a heads up play, literally, to get it back into the window square.
It was a great finish. It was a great goal, Ale. Fantastic stuff. I do want to ask you about the scorer, Christian Pulisic. Obviously, so instrumental for the USMNT. He obviously got hurt in the process of that goal. He carried on until the break, and obviously he came off. How detrimental, I guess, would it be for Pulisic not to be fit for the next game against the Netherlands, and who would you replace him?
Yeah, no, I don't know if I have so much worry about him not being available. I'm sure he'll get some treatment, get it worked on. I'm not sure exactly what the injury is, but that's what we wanted to see, you know, a win in or go home type of game. You put your body on the line and your willingness to get to the end of that cross. That's, you know, a true American spirit kind of goal. And, you know, I hope he recovers because we need him. He's a great player for us. And he finally got the goal that he so badly wanted and probably needed to boost his confidence a bit. But it was a great goal all around. And yeah, great victory. I'm so happy.
Ale, you know how they'll be feeling then to go to a World Cup and to get out of the group. What's that feeling in the camp like now for the US men?
Yeah, I can't imagine the emotions they're all going through, the families and the training staff. But, you know, the players deserved it. I thought, you know, I think, you know, you always want to just get out of the group, right? There's a lot of talk beforehand about the teams that they're up against. But there's no easy games in this World Cup, as we've seen. You know, some top teams lose to so-called inferior opponents. The U.S. men's national team got the job done. They move on. Netherlands is a tough team. You know, they got Gakpo has been scoring. He's on fire. But, you know, I think, you know, we haven't allowed a goal from open play yet, you know. So I think as long as we remain strong, hit him on the transition moments. So I was happy to see Brennan Aaronson get on, you know, get some more time today. And let's see, like I said, we're creating some good chances, playing good football, playing well. We just got to be able to convert. I don't want to live with 1-0 because I don't think a one goal is going to be enough to beat a team like Netherlands.
We keep talking about Christian Pulisic and, of course, some other notable players, Brendan Aaronson, Tyler Adams, the captain, of course. Were there any unsung heroes for you within this USMNT squad?
Yeah, I like Musa a lot. I like his game. I like how he plays. But I would say the unsung hero is probably somebody who wasn't even really expected to be on the squad. Talk about Tim Ream. That's, you know, he's been steady Eddie back there. You know, I mentioned that earlier. I mean, he's been rock solid back there. And I think his positioning tactically, you know, his understanding of the game, he's got high IQ and always his passing, you know, out of the back has been really, really good for this team.
The oldest member of the squad, Ale.
So, absolutely. Representing us old senior citizens out there, you know.
It's important, though, isn't it, Ale? It's important to have not just a player like that on the pitch, but a player like that in the squad, because this is a very young side, as we mentioned at the top of the show. You can see that they're brimming with confidence as well. You can see the energy they're putting in to their performances, but to have those veteran players does help a side like this, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I couldn't agree more. You know, I may be biased there, but I think when you have someone like him, this team has a lot of personality, a lot of talent on that team, you know, young guys, but you're always going to need one of those guys to really settle the group, stay composed. And I think Tim Ream gives you that on top of all the experience that he brings and his communication probably out there from the back. So, yeah, he settled this group really well. And I think speaking of unsung heroes, I think you definitely got to talk about him.
When it comes to Tim Weah as well, obviously it could have gone a different way for him today. He could have had his name on the score sheet. It wasn't to be. There were some chances for him, though. How will he be feeling after this? And what's his importance to this squad, despite the fact that it didn't go his way today?
Yeah, he should have had a couple. I don't know how that was offside. I still don't agree with it. Even the angle they showed with the VAR, I still don't think that's right down the line, you know. But his movement is great. It's fantastic. And you can see that he's brimming with confidence the way he gets on the ball and tries stuff, right? He tries to beat his guys 1v1 and his movement off the ball. But I think he's always a threat in behind. You know, we saw, I think I remember in the first half, almost a replica play of the Wales goal where Christian just missed him, you know, playing him through the lines to get on the end of it. But he's getting in great spots, like I said. And you know, unfortunately, the goal was ruled offside. But as long as he keeps good movement off the ball and creating those chances, hopefully he'll be able to tuck a few away next time.
I know we're going to come to how far they can go, but just before we do, I just want to get your opinion, Ale, given the fact that you've played away from the States as well, on how important it is for those players who have that experience of playing in Europe to bring what they know to this squad. And are we seeing this squad reaping the benefits of that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, but this is, I guess maybe you can call it a golden generation. I'm not sure, but I think there's so much young talent out there and they have so much experience. I mean, you've got guys who are playing in the top clubs for in top leagues and have played in top competitions, whether it's Champions League or Europa League games. So they have big game experience. I thought they performed very well on the day today, except for those last 10, 15 minutes. But that's the way football is, right? They held on, they held strong. And I think that, you know, their experience in those big games helped them out.
All right, Alejandro Bedoya, before you leave us, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to put you on the spot, my friend. Try and combine your heart with your brain. How far can the USMNT go?
Oh, that's a tough question. They can go far. You know, I think I had them, I picked them to go to the semis. So I'm hopefully they beat that and get to the final, you know. But, you know, like I said, knock around, anything can happen. They've looked strong so far. I've enjoyed watching them play. I think, you know, got to give a lot of credit to Greg Berhalter for his credit. Yeah, I'm sure he's received a lot of criticism, but I think he's done a great job setting up the team right. And they've been performing well. They've been playing well.
Alejandro Bedoya, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on ESPN FC Daily. You are welcome anytime.
Cheers. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. So we go from someone who's got a lot of experience playing for the US to somebody who's got a lot of experience when it comes to winning the World Cup, Frank LeBoeuf.
Who's that, Kay Murray? Who's that?
Frank LeBoeuf, just in case you didn't know. Oh, where is it?
Oh, he's hiding away.
Well, that's not... That's my shyness. That's why. That's what he's about.
Yeah, okay. Right. Your shyness.
Never been accused of being ever in your life, surely, Frank. Frank, you were watching that game. What did you think of it?
Well, I like the game. I like the pressure that and the energy that we had during that game, and how we also ended up, you know, with all the dramas at the end, you know. And you say how Iran will they be able to come back and get through? How the defense of America, who've been pretty much criticized throughout that World Cup, will handle it? Well, he went for the worst, for the best for the United States, and I'm pleased for the fans. It was a very good game. It's a good game. It's a game you want to watch during World Cup. You know, I mean, big games, so-called big teams, try to do the tactic before the energy. I love when teams are putting the energy before everything. Yeah, you can have a thought. Yeah, you can have a tactic. But what I like is the craziness that you put into the game. And we had the amount of craziness that we needed today.
We certainly did, Frank. We certainly did. When you see this US team, what are your thoughts on them? Do you think they can cause some more upsets along the way?
Well, you know, now we're gonna reach the knockout games, and everything is possible. You know, you take one game at a time, and the next game is against the Netherlands. They have proven that they are a good team, but they haven't proved that they are absolutely fantastic. I would say that United States would have played Brazil tomorrow. Well, the next game, I would say I'm concerned. But it's possible. The Netherlands, of course, if they play at their best, that's going to be hard. But right now, they're not. And I think there is a little possibility for United States to go through and keep on playing games after games and maybe reaching the semi-final. Some people have said that they put them on.
What does your gut tell you, Luis, about this US side after these three games?
I think that we need to look at the facts. The facts have been that in this group, in Group B, the USMNT, whether it's not 90 minutes, it's definitely for the majority of the game. They've been the better team in every single game. They were the better team against Wales. It's just that a lack of, you know, aggression and maybe more composure allowed Wales to come back in the first game. They were the better team against England, and they just couldn't finish. And they were the better team today against Iran. So we had an earlier show today talking about the Netherlands, and the Dutch camp is actually, the Dutch fans are a little apprehensive about Louis van Gaal's strategy. They're a little too defensive, a little too conservative for their liking. And it's there for the taking for the USMNT. So for somebody like Ale Bedoya or even, you know, Frank realistically saying that, look, you can maybe go to the semifinals. You have to wait and see. It's definitely a possibility. It's just that two things worry me a lot. One of them, not a lot, but something to look, you know, for Greg Berhalter to think about. One of them is that at halftime, when you're dominating those first 45 minutes, it can't be just 1-0. You have to take care of business because a stronger team, et cetera, just like the Netherlands, will take advantage. And then the other one, I'm still a little bit worried at the back. I think Tim Ream and Zimmerman have been tremendous. But then I think about Cody Gakpo, Memphis Depay. Okay, what's going to happen there? So I'm a little apprehensive, but sure, they can go further. They can beat the Netherlands. That's the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? I hear this. I hear that it has to be more. And we've just heard it as well from Alejandro Bedoya when it comes to goals. But Frank, these games are so tense when you know the fine margins that are on the line, that surely, of course, it would be better to have a bit more of security. But surely just making sure you get that result is what matters most.
Yeah, it's all about what's going on in your head and how you handle the game, how you handle the pressure, how you handle your heights and your lows. And the game is full of details. And it's the team who resolve the more details who's going to win the game at the end. And you need also the part of luck that you absolutely need. I remember France, you know, going through the extra time, you know, against Italy, and Baggio hitting the post like 2 minutes before penalty kicks. And a penalty shootout, sorry, and we won. So you need the luck. You can try to resolve everything you can, but if suddenly somebody puts a big shot, you know, in the top corner from 30 yards away, there's nothing you can do. That's part of football. That's part of the thing that you have to understand and accept. But let's say that mostly is the team who handle the pressure the most and resolve the more details, we have more chances to win.
Okay, here's a question for you and to Frank, of course, as well. But, you know, aside from the host, aside from Qatar, it's been pretty open because even though Costa Rica got demolished in the first game against Spain, they beat Japan. Then you think about Australia, who got killed by France, but then they win their second game. It's pretty wide open right now. And now when we head into the knockout stages, obviously there's still more matches in the group stages to go. Would you define that this is one of the most open World Cups ever?
I mean, I don't know when I say ever because I can't actually remember going through every group stage. But I do know that, yeah, the drama even going into these last round of games, something's at stake everywhere. You know, there was only a couple of teams that got the job done in those first two games. And so three teams, right? So I think that in that sense, the way it's got to this, it's been really good to see. And this is the last time we're going to see it because obviously the numbers are changing when it comes to a World Cup. So it's definitely been wide open enough. I don't know what I can compare it to, though, now off the top of my head. What about you, Frank?
Well, the only concern that I have is the mind that the players sometimes show in their games, where I feel sometimes that they completely lose it. Remember Brazil against Germany, losing at home like crazy. I think it was 7-0. You have Germany losing 7-0 against Spain. You have Iran losing 7-0 against England. And that's not possible, you know. You can lose your composure. You can lose a little bit of your time, frame time, you know, during a game. But you have to you have to come back into the game and you have to show that you're a professional player. Now, if I have to compare with my generation, I would say that physically and tactically, all teams are more well prepared than they used to be when we were playing. The tactic, the power, the talent of the some players were making the difference for the big teams. The differences between France and Saudi Arabia in '88 is we had Zidane, they didn't. Brazil had Ronaldo. In '86, you had Maradona. It makes the difference. It made the difference at the time. Now, even if you have Messi, it's not enough. If you have Ronaldo, it's not enough. If you have Mbappe, it's not enough because you're going to face, you know, very well prepared tactically and physically teams.
Frank, you know, when I lived in Spain, there was this one question they used to always ask the manager before a game. And they used to always say about your opponent, which player would you rather take out of that side? If your France team were facing this US team, which player would you rather not have playing because you see them as dangerous, you see them as very talented?
I will go for the captain. I think being in the middle of the park, Adams give the rhythm and the tempo of everybody. Yes, you have Pulisic. Yeah, today you had Dest, who played very well. It surprised me because I wasn't pleased with his performances so far. But Adams has been very, very good every time, you know, giving, you know, mentally, tactically, all the strength that the American team needed. So, yeah, if I had to avoid somebody, that would be the captain.
Ah, nice. What about you, Luis? Do you have a thought on that one? If it, let's say it was your Peru team having to face this US team. We won't even go with England right now because that's happened already. Which is the player that you take out, do you think?
At this point, can I take out all of them regarding Peru? No, I'm agreeing with Super Frank LeBeuf. I think Tyler Adams to me. I'm such a fan of his. We're a fan of his. But it's just the little things that he does that nobody notices. It's the leadership. It's the maturity. I mean, that goal that wasn't when Weah like accidentally passed it to Sargent or tried to and didn't score it himself. That was all Tyler Adams in the midfield. He's tremendous and he's the heart. He's got like three lungs. To me, when you have a player like that in your squad, it really is almost impossible to replace him because he brings you more than talent. So I'm with Frank. I think Tyler Adams as well.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take one man out of our lineup right now. That is Frank LeBeuf. He will be back, though.
He's going to shine his World Cup medal.
He's going to shine his World Cup. World Cup winners have to run.
Au revoir, Frank.
Au revoir. Bye-bye.
We're getting ready for the next game, as always. Raring to go, Frank. Thanks for being with us. Should we welcome in Tom Hamilton, Luis?
Let's go from one World Cup champion to a World Cup legend.
I've got to say, it's so intimidating to follow a US international and a man who's won the World Cup. And I was trying to think of my achievements, and all I've got is a 25-meter swimming badge. And I think that's about it.
Yes! So, I think we're going to because wear it with really pride, it. Tom. Wear it with pride.
So listen, we're not going to go all US with you right now, Tom, because we want to focus on what happened with England in their game against Wales. It finished 3-0. What's the overriding story from this clash, other than the fact that they're group leaders that they go through as?
Yeah, I think it's a case of job done, to be honest. I mean, the first half, again, was pretty turgid stuff. It wasn't very interesting. Like, England managed to fashion a couple of decent chances. Rashford probably had the best one. But with the four changes that Southgate made, I think you're probably hoping for a bit more sort of impetus in that first half. But in the second half, it came good. Rashford, wonderful free kick. Phil Foden, really, really nice work goal. And then Rashford again. They had a chance to sort of empty the bench. They managed to, on the face of it, keep everyone fit. So, to be honest, I think, again, that first half was a concern. But we've seen so many nil-nil first halves in this World Cup. It's almost like that first half is them shadow boxing until the main event. And they realise, actually, they're in a World Cup group match. Let's get going at half time. But for Southgate, job done. They've won the group, and now it's Senegal.
The typical narrative, I think, Kay Murray, for England right now. We freak out in the middle, we're happy at the beginning, and we get the job done in the end. The only question mark I had, who am I to question, because at least they won 3-0, was why did you start Harry Kane? I was a little worried about that. Hopefully, you know, nothing wrong will happen into the game against Senegal. But like Tom said, look, at the end of the day, the objective is done. And now all focus on Senegal, who, by the way, they're so much more than Sadio Mane. So I'm going to be interested to see how England lines up against this one. But overall, the objective was to win this group, and they did it, Kay. So England fans should be happy.
Yeah, and I wonder as well, Tom, if Gareth Southgate, with some of the changes that we saw today and the fact that Rashford now has 3 goals in 3, we saw Phil Foden, which everybody was calling for, he's come in and scored a goal in this one. Do you think it will have changed his mind about anything going forward when it comes to his starting 11?
I've got the aircon cough, which Anthony, the Brazilian player, has been talking about.
Yeah, it's an actual thing. Also, according to my Italian husband.
Yeah, yeah. For those that don't know, Anthony said, by the way, the air conditioning within the stadiums are causing a few issues to players, and I completely agree. It is. And by the way, Kay, you lived in Miami, so you had aircon all the time, so I'm sure you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we did. And just to add to that, so I won't bore everyone, I feel that all Europeans who at first moved to the United States as well, where, you know, AC is life, they can't get used to it. It takes so long to get used to it. So that's really funny to hear players have been upset about the
AC. Tom, are you okay now? Are you good?
Oh, absolutely fine. Yeah, good to go. just a momentary setback. But I think it's the interesting thing, right? Talk about Mason Mount and talk to anyone who knows him really well, any coaches, managers, and they absolutely swear by him. So
they love him.
Yeah, absolutely adore him. And they'd say, you know, it's the old sort of proverbial first name on the team sheet sort of thing. But look, Foden tonight, he really did put down a marker and showing that he does bring that creative spark. There was that wonderful little move with Bellingham in the first half. Bellingham was absolutely outstanding again. And they got it. You know, when they start, when they click, when they're starting to enjoy themselves, you can see them trying these little moves and it just pulls defences apart. So I don't think Foden could have done any more if he's to try and force his way into the team. And what a lovely headache for Southgate to have, to be honest. I would personally like to see Foden stay in there. I think he's earned his spot. But again, really, I wouldn't be surprised if Southgate goes back to Mount. And then what a wonderful impact sub to have in Foden.
Yeah. Mason Mount is the equivalent of that kid at school that brought the apple to the teacher every single day and asked for more.
They do. They love him. They like
him. I mean, he's great. But to Tom's point, Phil Foden has to find a way to get in here. He's so great. And I think specifically against an opponent like Senegal, I think, because Senegal are a team that are going to be adventurous going forward. They're going to be a little bit lackadaisical at the back. They just are. That, you know, Ecuador and Senegal was kind of like a back and forth. And England, because they have so much more control within their midfield, they can really penetrate those spaces. Who better than Phil Foden? So, like Tom said, it's a good headache for Gareth Southgate to have, for sure.
What did you make of Harry Kane then, Tom, in this game? Because he obviously had that assist for Phil Foden. And then there was that chance early on from Rashford, I think like the 10th minute. Kane had set that up. It was saved by Ward. But assist man as well as a scorer for Harry Kane.
Yeah, and this is what he's become, hasn't he, really? He's kind of become the perfect 9.5, I guess. He's sort of somewhere in between both those roles. And, I mean, he worked really well with Rashford today. That ball for Foden was just like bang on the money, absolutely pinpoint. So I know that we've been hoping that he was going to sort of tie the England men's goal-scoring record here. But I think, to be honest, Southgate would be so pleased with him. And obviously there was that ankle injury, a few concerns there earlier on. He seems to kind of have come through that okay. So, again, as we said earlier, I know it's probably a slightly dull football trope, but it's job done for England, really. Keep everyone fit. Move on to Senegal. They've got good options. They gave Callum Wilson another go from the bench today as he sort of plays his way into the team. You could even play Rashford up there on his own if you needed to, with Kane just behind. But equally, when you're facing a team like this, where it was noticeable at halftime they switched Foden and Rashford onto different wings as well. They're so versatile, and that must be an absolute nightmare to plan against.
Luis, can we get our little smugger meter going on? Because I think that when it comes to Group A and Group B, we are bang on right in our brackets.
I know. Do we? I'm calling ESPN right now so we get a bonus.
And we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. But we will say that we predicted exactly Group A and Group B so far. How about you, Tom?
I actually had Ecuador going through, so that was one I was surprised by. I didn't see the game earlier because I was at the Netherlands match, so I saw the Netherlands against Qatar up at the Al Bayt Stadium. And yeah, I think I probably had it just about the same, really, in regards to Group B. The USA, as we said earlier, could easily have won that had they been a bit more clinical against England. But that Group A, just looking there, yeah, I think that's kind of... I do think that Ecuador are unlucky. I think just because they started so well, we saw Valencia playing so well. I think they're going to look at this as a real missed opportunity.
Yeah, they didn't have a good game today. They did not have a good game today. Senegal gave them a taste of their own medicine, and sadly for Ecuador, they were just not alert. And when they equalized, they were so happy about equalizing by Moises Caicedo that, you know, Koulibaly scored almost immediately from a corner. It wasn't a good game, and Senegal deserved it for sure.
So you saw the Netherlands. How did Cody Gakpo look? Because he's the man that everybody's talking about at the moment, Tom.
Oh, he's just absolutely outstanding. Louis van Gaal said afterwards he has all the sort of the ability, but also the personality and the drive to become a true superstar. And I completely agree with him. I think while there are some things I perhaps don't agree with van Gaal on, that was one where I like to think we see eye to eye. And I think Gakpo here, if he was worth 50 million before the World Cup, surely that's had another 20 million stuck on it during this campaign. 3-3. He looked really dangerous. And today it was so interesting. He's been playing as a 10 for the Netherlands, but today for the goal, it's what we saw from him at PSV, where he starts on the left, drifts across the box, hits it into the far post with his right foot, and it's a trademark Gakpo finish. And he's showing his versatility. He's also showing his maturity here. And he's someone who really has lived up to the hype. The rest of the team, however, I think is still trying to grow into it. And I think judging by the Netherlands today, when the US do their analysis and they look at this game, I don't think there's anything there for the US to be scared of at all. I just think I think the Netherlands are there for the taking. There's so much space in between, in behind those fullbacks as well. Like we saw today with the US against Iran, there's definite space to be exploited there. And the Netherlands are going to have to improve if they're going to get through this test.
Yeah, I agree, Kay. Just very quickly, I have Netherlands beating the USMNT in this game before in our predictions way back. But, you know, we had Milan van Donnen. We had, obviously, Mark Ogden. We had everybody in the earlier show. And none of them are, they're not impressed by the Netherlands at all. Nadum, too, he was not impressed. Nobody was impressed. Virgil van Dijk has been okay. Cody Gakpo is incredible, but I think to Tom's point, it's more to the fact because everybody else has really been playing a little bit below average. Van Gaal's strategy is a little bit conservative, which is kind of alarming when you're thinking about the Netherlands. So they are definitely there for the taking. So the key will be how individually these players can pick themselves up and the likes of Virgil van Dijk really play like Virgil van Dijk. So we'll see how it goes. But Netherlands are there for the taking for sure.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Tom. We'll let you go and we'll be speaking to you very soon again, no doubt. All right. I'm talking of three from three, by the way. Marcus Rashford, Cody Gakpo, Kylian Mbappe, and also Enner Valencia. But obviously he's been eliminated now with his side. So no more for him. But yeah, the Golden Boot race is going to be an interesting one. One goal that didn't go Ronaldo's way, as we've all heard, and you know, maybe you haven't heard enough about it already, was that no goal yesterday. Anyway, he's come back on Twitter, Luis, and he's apologising to you. He says, "My dearest LME, I apologise for letting you down. My deepest apologies. Please take your DMs for a promo code to my latest CR7 fragrance during the holidays. Yours truly, the GOAT."
Oh, it's the one that he created like in 2017. I'm reading the DMs right now. He's saying, by the way, this one was from the back of a van, so you should be lucky that you're getting it. It's, you know, Ronaldo and I are pals now. I'm going to his house after this. It's going to be, it's all gravy. It's all gravy, K. Murray. It's all
fantastic.
Gravy. And by the way, everybody watching, we like to have some fun in this show. So please, let's not get the angry mail after this.
Yeah, please stop telling me off about Cristiano Ronaldo. I haven't said anything against Cristiano Ronaldo. I love Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, you do.
But Luis, maybe when you go to his house, you can give him a new hairstyle that pushes his hair out just that little bit more.
I think I'm the last person that he needs to hair.
All right. Well, we will be back tomorrow for more conclusions to the groups. We hope you will join us. And it's been great to have you. We'll see you then.